Welcome to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from May 8th, 2001.
From the high desert in the great American Southwest. I wish you all good evening and or good morning, wherever you may be across this great land of ours, from Guam, out across the state line, all the way east to the Caribbean and the U.S. Virgin Islands, where I'm going to go visit one day, south into South America, north all the way to the pole. This is Coast to Coast AM, worldwide, of course, on the internet. Well, good morning, everybody. I would like to start tonight by welcoming a brand new affiliate, KXNO in Des Moines, Iowa. Some people have been heard to say Des Moines. That's all right. You should see what they do to the name of my little town, Pahrump. So in Des Moines, welcome. 1460 on the dial. 5,000 big ones. Great to have Des Moines online. Good morning in Des Moines. And it is morning in Des Moines and various forms of the day everywhere else. Literally now, we reach across everywhere and from darkness to darkness and light to light, like the British Empire. The sun never quite sets on Coast to Coast AM. Coast to Coast to Coast to Coast AM. Well, oh, one more thing. I want to remind our affiliates and our listeners that we have pre-feeds. And every single night during the week when the program's on. Matter of fact, I think we do it on the weekend too. But every night we pre-feed 3 hours of the previous night's show. The sound thinking here that people couldn't stay up that late. And so, you know, they lost a lot of the previous night's show. And it has been working out really well, ratings-wise, for those stations across country and elsewhere that have begun the show an hour or two or three early in the evening. Really, really works out because the shows generally flow into each other, and it just simply makes sense to the audience. Now, speaking of flow, wasn't last night interesting? Huh? Was it one of the more interesting times you've ever had the opportunity to see what Hollywood does with a story, and then particularly when it is a focus on one person's life, a major motion picture on Patch Adams' life, and then have an opportunity to hear the person for real? Isn't that interesting? I mean, you should really ponder on that for a while. I certainly have. Absolutely fascinating. Well, the power is going out. Went out again today in California, large parts of California. And now they're talking about turning off the power to the plants that are the refineries, you know, that are turning out whatever it is, the various products that refineries turn out, diesel, number two, gasoline, whatever all they turn out. They're talking about turning off the power to these places too. And I watched some interviews on CNN of some of the operators, and they said maybe 2 or 3 days, you know, to get back in operation after something like that. So this is going to become, this is going to start feed on itself as power goes off to refineries, and they do have a bill they're trying to get through to save the refineries so they don't go off. But if they do go off, it's going to obviously feed on itself. Less energy, more demand, equals more blackouts. Obviously, right? So what's going on in California will go on again, they say, tomorrow. It's very, very serious, and we are in the middle of the first just little heat wave of the coming summer. It's going to get a lot worse. And as they click on the air conditioners, as predicted in California, I told you that would happen, the blackouts would begin to get very serious, and they are. And if they start shutting, I thought, boy, turning off refineries, maybe not a good idea. What do you think? All right, now, at the beginning of this hour, I want you to listen to me very carefully. We're going to have Neil Slade on next hour, and we're going to be talking about the human brain. Now, listen to me very carefully, because you're not probably going to get to see this in the second hour. I don't know. Maybe you will. Boy, do we have some servers, I'll tell you. That's it, Art. Brag on them and watch them go down. Neil has brought with him a video, the likes of which you probably have never seen before, or maybe some lucky few of you have seen something like this. It's a news crew covering a man who's got a connection to his that part of their brain that Neil frequently talks about. Amygdala. There it is. Thank you. Amygdala. I can never been able to get my mind, Neil, around that word, amygdala. Anyway, he's got a wire hooked up, and it shows what the news crew that's going through this goes through themselves, the fellow on camera and then the sound man, as they're filming this incredible event. And the sound guy and the guy in the story are getting shocks from touching this man. Shocks, electrical, whew, shocks. That's only the first part of this video. It's video with sound, by the way. I'm about to tell you how to get to it. And you need to go to it early before Neil Slade gets here. The real blowaway comes toward the end. Toward the end, this man explains about the energy being created, how powerful it is, and also how dangerous it is. It could be obviously very dangerous. If you can heal with it, you can kill with it. And he takes a newspaper out onto the sidewalk, and without at the end, he crumples it up, without at the end touching it with his hands at all, you'll see the newspaper begin to smoke and burst into flames. This man holds his hand, 8 or 10 inches above the newspaper, open hands, and the newspaper turns brown, begins smoking, and bursts into flames. And all of this was covered by a camera crew. And it's very clear. Now, you're going to have to be the judge of what you're seeing yourself, but this is one mother of an amazing video. How do you get to it? You go to artbell.com, my website. You click on program. You click on tonight's guest info. You will see immediately the name Neil Slade. Just scroll down a little bit. And then you will see the first item at the top is what you want right now. Hopefully we have the servers to dish this out to you, and I think we do. You'll see entitled Real Video, Fire Brain Dash Man, High Speed, Low Speed. We've got a high speed, high quality version of this up there. And we've got a lower speed, lower quality version of this up there. For those of you that are able, or if you can afford the wait, I recommend the high speed version. If you can't do it, the lower speed one is there. Either way, this you've got to see this. You've really got to see this. I have never seen anything like it in my life. And of course, it relates exactly to what Neil Slade is going to be talking about next hour. Oh my, it's absolutely amazing. So next hour, Neil will be along to talk about actually all kinds of things. We've got quite a few things on our list. For example, Neil is now saying that he believes we have a second brain. A second brain. Yes, one here in the old noggin, but we have another brain somewhere else in our body. No jokes here, please. Where do you think the other brain is? Oh, you know, I just realized what foolish answers I'm going to get from a lot of you. So leave them out. I can hear the jokes. In fact, I've already made up three as I've been sitting here thinking about it. I wonder if I'll be able to resist. We better ask the question fast when we get Neil on, huh? Set everything else at rest. And then a third very popular category Neil's been into lately, I hear. Brain love chemicals. And the ever popular one-hour brain orgasm. He calls it a braingasm. All gasms are in the brain, right? Oh, anyway, we'll talk about all of that. And, of course, the now infamous, famous or infamous, depending on how you look at it, experiments that we did using mass numbers of brains in the audience. But again, you have never in your life seen anything like this that we've got on the website tonight. It's the amygdala. That's where the point where the wire is connected to the man's head. And then the rest of it, it's beyond all reason. And unless you conclude it's some kind of magician's trick, and I don't think it is, then you must join me and so many others in the audience in beginning to understand that we are so very much more than we appear to be, a pile of chemicals worth X number of dollars with inflation. I don't know what the human body is worth these days. But we're more than that. We're a lot more than that. That's what this video shows. And it's nice to have this level of proof. And of course, there will inevitably be people around who will say it's some kind of magician's trick. It's got to be. And that's what the human mind tends to do. It tends to relegate to magic anything that it doesn't fully understand. If it, you know, if it's too amazing to be true, then it's magic for some people. Other people understand this is real and can be done. Either way, it will stun you, and my guess is you will want your friends to see it too. It's that profound. So again, just go to my website, artbell.com, go to program, and tonight's guest info, and then the name Neil Slade, and then just down below, first item, real video, Fire Brain Dash Man, high speed, low speed, you take your choice, and I guarantee it will be the most amazing thing that you saw today, anywhere. How's that? Okay, item. Our new kitty cat. Oh, I'll tell you what, I better take my break before I get going and I forget these breaks and it ends up costing me later. So while I'm thinking about it, here's the break and then we'll be right back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from May 8th, 2001.
Well, as you may or may not know, we have a new cat. The cat gods declared that we were going to get a new cat, and we've got it. Like it or not, it's a little waif of a cat. Went to the vet today. Negative for feline leukemia. Thank you. So it got all of its shots, and it had the full treatment at the vet's today and is home now, and not all that happy. I mean, it's really happy to be home. It purred and went into its little bed and went to sleep. So it had a really rough day at the vet's. But now it's home and resting in its little bed and purring every time we go near it. So I suspect he will survive. And as soon as he's. And so we had a contest to name him anyway. And thank you very much for the 3,000 plus names. The winner is JNF Scrivano, S-C-R-I-V-A-N-O. Simple. A very simple name, and yet endearing for this little beastie, whose name is Yeti. I thought that a kind of a cute name. We had every suggestion you can imagine. Thank you all for making them, but Yeti. Yeti is, well, it's like a cat name for one thing. Most cat names end as in kitty, E, right? Anything else doesn't quite sound right. Yeti? Yes. Big paws? Oh, yes. This little gangly thing has giant paws, so Yeti is the winner. Send no more names. Oh, my God. 3,000 names to go through. 3,000 names in the morning, Wednesday, 9 a.m. Stephen Greer, Dr. Stephen Greer at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. is going to have a press conference that's going to blow the socks off any reporter with the conies to go over there and check it out. He's going to have people at very high levels, fourth highest in the FAA. I mean, you think about this, fourth highest in the FAA at the time. He's going to have pilots and military personnel who are going to come forward and are going to give incontrovertible evidence, witness testimony of alien presence. It will be interesting, won't it, to see what kind of press shows up. This is a very serious presentation. Now, I don't see how the press could... How could they ignore this? You never know what they might do to it. There's usually ridicule that goes along with it, but I would think if I were CNN, I'd have my butt over there big time. I mean, we're talking about ratings here. So I'm appealing to their commercial side. That's the way to get them there, appeal to their commercial side. There's no question about the fact that those networks and television stations and C-SPANs and whoever all shows up or doesn't show up, whoever does show up is going to have one hell of a story, and their news network is going to get the ratings. When you have people of this magnitude showing up to say what they're going to say, there is no way that's not news. Major, justifiably covered news at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C., 9 o'clock, Wednesday morning, the 9th. So, will it not be interesting to see who shows and who doesn't? I think there will be some press there, and I think the reason is because, hopefully, because they're listening to me, and they know those who dispatch people, reporters, for these reasons. They know that it's worth a lot of ratings. It's worth one hell of a story. It's a visual story that you can go and get. People of great stature standing up to say amazing things, incredible things. Things that'll make a hell of a story. Now maybe I'm talking directly to the assignment editors, I suppose. Now we'll see what happens. I have a letter here from a Margaret down in the Antarctic. Margaret is in the Antarctic and she's really angry with us for the speculation that's been on the program about the Antarctic, and she really gives us the biz, and I will indeed read Margaret's letter here on the air. So it's coming up, Margaret. Get your recorder ready. I'm going to read your letter on the air, and you may well be right. The trouble is, you see, we don't know.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up.
Some people wanna build a world. like to know, 'cause here I go.
Covered and then to burst up through tarmac to the sun again, or to fly to the sun without burning a wing, to lie in a meadow and hear the grass sing, to have all these things in our memories all, and to use them to help us.
Somewhere in Time with Art Bell continues, courtesy of Premier Networks.
Good morning from the high desert. I'm Art Bell. We received the following scathing message from Margaret down, she says, in Antarctica. And it does indeed come from McMurdo.gov, so I think it's authentic. And it says, I've never heard such outrageous bull as I heard on your show about Antarctica. I'm down at McMurdo and happen to know all 11 people who left on the medevac. The reason that their medical conditions were not publicized is that their privacy is being protected. It's none of your damn business what their physical problems may be. They left for a variety of reasons, some medical, some personal. For you and your cohorts to take bits of information and construct paranoid conspiracy fantasies, then broadcast them to the public is worse than irresponsible, is unethical. And it's unduly worrying those of our family and friends who are naive and trusting enough to believe you. Did it ever occur to you that the email comment made by the New South Pole doc stuffing her pockets with salt was a joke? Yes, they're low on salt at the pole because people who do the ordering for down here are less than perfect. Here at McMurdo, they forgot to order chicken popcorn and flour tortillas. What kind of conspiracy theory are you going to make out of that? Flour, I'd say. Flour? They really forgot to order flour? Now, let's see, they forgot to order salt and flour. Now, those are pretty... Anyway, let me finish the letter. Don't you feel the tiniest bit absurd? We certainly think you are. Your broadcasts are passed around as a joke down here. And this isn't by management or your Raytheon Black's ops folks. We're just average people making a living in an unusual place. You will say whatever you want with no consequences for all the lies you tell. That is an unfortunate result of the free speech that we hold dear in our country. Just know there are many of us out here who know the truth. Signed, Meg Davis. P.S. I doubt very much if you have the nerve to read this in its entirety on your program. So you lost on that one, anyway. And as for the rest of it, Meg, the world has an interest in what happens down there. And the rest of the world, and I too, find it more than a little unusual that the two doctors who came out under emergency conditions were taken out with indeed the symptoms of the illness requiring an unusual evacuation at a very dangerous time of the year. That, you know, we were told all about it. And lots of information flowed from McMurdo about what was wrong. So then how are these other 11 people different? Well, you say it's none of our damn business. Maybe true. But I don't buy into that. I think actually we do have a right to be concerned about it. I think it's unusual enough and the numbers are large enough. And then there's those two that were in critical condition, Meg, and we still don't know what happened to them. So I wrote Meg back, and I told her that if she would like to tell us the truth, then maybe there wouldn't be so many rumors flying around about what people imagine, because when they don't know what's going on, they imagine things. And the South Pole is a very unusual place with very unusual things going on, magnetic anomalies in the ice. And then I was thinking about flour. Now, what would be, if you were ordering food and the things that would keep you alive, and you knew that you were going to get nothing all winter long, you'd be really, really careful about what you ordered, right? And the staples, the basic stuff like flour and salt that you've got to have to live, those would be staples that you wouldn't make that kind of mistake on, I think. Salt, you've got to have salt. You have to have salt. And flour is such a basic that I find it a little more than passing strange that you would forget that. So what I would suggest, Meg, is that you write us back an email, since I've read yours now, and tell us what really went on down there. And we can accept the truth. If it was a fight, if it wasn't just a matter of personal preferences, people hop in a plane, there were two separate things, rescues going on here, right? So I could buy into the possibility of a fight, but Meg, I must tell you otherwise, there will be lots of imagining that's going on about what's going down on down in the Antarctic, because that's people's nature. When they don't know the truth, then they begin imagining all sorts of things. And can you blame them? So the best way to clear it up would be to tell us what happened. I mean, it's fine. You can tell us it's none of our damn business, and I guess it can end there and people just keep wondering, or you can tell us what happened. That's up to y'all down there. But if you were on our side of the whole story, I think that you would be also wondering very, very hard about what's going on down there. There are a lot of strange circumstances converging all at once. Simple as that. All right, open lines, directly ahead. There's so much more. So much about Mr. Tito. We're trying to get an interview with Mr. Tito, who just got back. And I've got articles on Mr. Tito and articles on Golden and his attitude about it all. And this has just been the most amazing, amazing thing. Golden made some comments about the filmmaker, James Cameron, that were considerably more friendly than toward Mr. Tito. And so you have to wonder what's going on there. It's kind of like Cameron seems as though he'll be all right to NASA, because he's willing to wait until the time is right for NASA to say, okay, come on up. So we'll have to watch what happens there. It's a really interesting story. Gasoline prices going up exponentially. The $3 guess in Chicago is going to turn out, I'm afraid, to be a pretty good one, and probably $3 elsewhere. Can you imagine that for a gallon of gasoline? What do you think that will do to our economy? If it actually went up to $3 a gallon, then you're talking about an impact on an economy. Very serious impact indeed. All right, a break and then open line. Stay right there.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from May 8th, 2001.
Oh, now here's an interesting little tidbit I forgot, Meg, we'd like to ask you about with regard to the Antarctic. The infrared shots of the Antarctic have been down for about a week now. And a lot of us are wondering why the infrared shots of just the Antarctic would be down. So, Meg, you could help out a lot here, you see, by, I guess, clearing some things up. And it would stop so many people from wondering about what's going on down there. Just, you know, it does seem unusual, Meg. So thanks for the email, and we'll look forward to hearing from you. Although I doubt very much if you have the nerve to send the information requested. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
First time callers, area code 775-727-1222.
No, I just had to bleep that out. We don't allow, the one thing we don't allow is people to give their last names on the air.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So you're just Jeremy, okay?
All right,
Jeremy.
The reason I'm calling is because, to tell you the honest truth, I think that our new president is the new Antichrist for the new world order. I've been thinking about this for a long time.
No, he's not.
Yeah, well, listen, he doesn't want to cut gas prices down to what they were.
No, he's gonna let the price of gas float, and it's gonna float up to about $3 is what's gonna happen. But he's not the Antichrist.
Why not? He did all the stuff that's been going on lately is
the Antichrist. It will deal in things far more significant than this summer's price of gas. I guarantee.
It's almost like the crisis of 1979 there.
Well, I'm telling you again, the Antichrist will dabble in things that will affect you far more than this. Even though this is going to be serious, it's not up to Antichrist-level stuff.
No, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, no, it's not.
All right, thanks.
It's not, yeah, you bet. No, I don't think he's the Antichrist. Not President Bush. Eastern Rockies, you're on the air. Hello. Hello?
This Teresa?
Well, hi.
Hi.
Teresa, how are you doing?
I'm fine.
Good.
You're in Tennessee.
In Tennessee.
Yes.
How's Tennessee?
I just had a curious question.
All right, a curious question. All questions are curious. How's
yes.
Tennessee this morning? How's everything?
Oh, it's beautiful.
Good. All right, go ahead.
I heard, like, something about the comet Lanier.
Yes.
What happened? I don't, like, only
well,
what the last
okay, listen to me.
Yes.
What has happened is, the astronomers were watching it one day recently, and by golly, it split right in two, right down the middle, poof. And then when it did, it got 100 times brighter.
And
you can only imagine what the astronomers who were watching at the time said when that happened.
Yeah.
I wonder what they did say.
Well, see, I read this book, Maya Cosmogenesis, and
yes.
It said something about something striking the Earth in 2012. And I didn't know, you know, is the comet Lanier passed by Earth's orbit or anything?
Well, it'll be long gone by 12, back again by 2012, I don't know, or sucked into the sun.
Would it be on a new orbit?
Lots of things could happen. It could just keep on trucking, or it could get sucked into the sun. Now, that's the interesting one. When these things get sucked into the sun, they cause the sun to do disproportionately large, weird things.
Oh.
Yes. So that's what you want to watch for.
Yeah, I was just curious about that, because I read that book, and I was like, wow, this comet's split in two. And
yep.
I was just wondering. And the Russian space station Mir, there was a fungus on there. Was there any news on what the fungus is when it crashed, when it went into the Earth?
Nobody has found the big pieces or the Mir. They're at the bottom of the Pacific Ocean, and nobody's even hunting. So you can imagine anything from the following. The fungus burned up and it got crispied during reentry.
Okay.
Or the fungus survived and dies in salt water.
Oh, my.
Or the fungus survived and thrives in warm salt water, relatively warm to where it's been surviving. After it survived in space, right? So now that it's got a little gravity and it's got some nutrients to feed on in the ocean,
yeah,
it's going to get real big and come ashore, and it's going to have big teeth.
Oh, my.
Oh, yes. We've all seen the movies.
Yes, right. And
right?
Maybe they took some samples of the fungus and took it into Destiny Space Lab and does some secret testing on it.
Well, they like to say it's, you know, refrigerator-class fungus, like the fungus you find behind your fridge.
Yeah.
But it was out in space where it was being irradiated with totally unearthly type levels of radiation and no doubt mutating.
Oh, I know. Well, thank you.
You're very welcome. Take your choice from any of the above. Who knows? They're not going to get pieces of mirror, so we'll just have to wait and see what comes or doesn't. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Art.
Hi.
Hi, this is Art from Portland.
Yes,
listening to you on 1190 KX.
Yes, sir.
Just a tidbit about the chemtrails. They're raising heck up here over Portland and northwestern Oregon.
So I've been hearing, yes.
But just a kind of interesting little tidbit. I was watching the movie channel, Michael Landon's first movie, or one of them, the Teenage Werewolf Kid.
Right, I remember.
Anyway, beginning of the show, it kind of camera pans up towards the sky a little bit, and I just couldn't believe it. There were about a half a dozen chemtrails in the shot. And this was back in 58 or 59, I believe.
Yes, I'm not surprised.
And so I didn't know, it might have been old news to you, but I just thought some of the guys, you listeners, might be interested. And obviously, we've been doing this for quite a while.
No, it's not news. Believe me, I've been following it very closely.
Okay.
All right, thank you very much. Sure, I'm following it. That, the possibility of aluminum in them and all the rest of it. And also, this story, which we began following late last week, black mold. All of a sudden, there's this big thing about black mold, and I hadn't heard a word about black mold. But all of a sudden, I'm hearing that homes are being torn down, schools are being closed, all over the place in Texas, but not just Texas. Here's a message from Barbara in Sparks, I guess. Black mold found, here it is, in Northern Nevada Sparks home. Occupants had to move out. Enough concern raised by awareness in community to warrant schools to check. Mold found in two high schools, two middle schools, three elementary schools in small amounts. Still alert in Reno for possible other black mold problems. Reno Gazette articles many days, so there have been a lot of articles about it up in the Reno Gazette. This one snuck up on me. I had not heard about black mold until now. I don't know what it is. I don't want anything to do with it. It apparently, unfortunately, appears to thrive in Nevada. Phooey. You would think something like that wouldn't like our state. Generally, probably too dry for mold, you would think. But no, it's here. Black mold. Great. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Bert.
Yes, hi.
This is Jeff calling from Newmarket, Ontario. I'm listening to you on Mojo 640.
Yes, sir.
I have one quick question regarding when these people were taken out. You said there was 11 of them.
You're talking about the Antarctic, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. When the 11 were taken out, was there any replacement personnel taken in?
I don't have the answer to that question. I certainly did not hear about any replacements going in.
Taking out those people, you would think they would have had some kind of jobs they would have had to do. They would have needed them down there.
I agree with you. You would think that, but there was no news of that. The whole thing involving the 11 was really pretty mysterious, frankly. The dock, that was covered extensively by the news, almost at times exclusively by the news, while the 11 flew way under the radar and still... Really, even though Meg laid it on us, she said, it's none of your damn business. So, you know, something happened.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was never in the news story. They kept putting a little bit more in every day after they started off with the one doctor.
I mean, how do you feel about it? Don't you think it's beyond a little curious?
Well, I don't know why it didn't get the attention that it did, considering that there's no flights out of the Antarctic for, like, what, 6-7 months a year?
Yeah, I know.
All of a sudden, they're pulling all these people out of there.
Yeah, it takes heroic measures to get them out, absolutely heroic measures. And so, you know, people, particularly if they're told it's none of their damn business, they're going to get curious about this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, that's great. Thank you, Bart.
And, yeah, you're very welcome. And I think, obviously, you feel the very same way. We're not getting the whole story. Now, maybe we're not entitled to the whole story, as she said. But it seems to me that, I don't know. It just seems to me that we should have some understanding of what went on, and that if we did, it would prevent the kind of speculation that's going on that disturbs herself. And I think it's natural that because it's an entire continent peopled by so few, that there's a natural worldwide curiosity about it. Now, maybe she's right, it's none of our damn business, but they certainly made it our business to know about the doctor and every little bit of everything that was wrong with him medically, and why the heroics to go down there and all the rest of that. So then to me it seems, yes, unusual that we would be told to go stick our heads in the sand when we want to know about the others. So many. Of course we're curious.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time.
That your fear seems to hide deep inside your mind. All alone I had cried.
Presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from May 8th, 2001.
Well, I hope Neil's all right. All I get when I call the number that we arranged for air is a message. I've got two numbers, both answer, but Neil's not there. So, you never know what we're going to do. As a matter of fact, let me try again so you can actually hear it yourself. Show you what I'm getting. Very strange, especially for a brain guy.
Hi, this is Neil Slade. Please leave a message. Thanks.
Hey, Neil. The message is we're on the air and you're not. Where are you? Are you okay? We're concerned. People don't miss broadcast times like that. All right, I'm getting some kind of strange message. He's got a disconnected wire. He's fixed. He's home. He's ready. Right. We'll try it again here in a second. We'll get Neil Slade, I'm confident. A wire in the wrong place, huh? Likely story. You probably came out with the 11, didn't you? All right, so anyway, here's the deal. There is the most amazing video that you've ever seen in your whole life on my website right now. And we have it up there because I fear that Neil's would not handle the traffic. In fact, I know so. We also have his website up there, and there's all kinds of interactive discussion areas and all kinds of things. If you'll go to my website right now, the one you want to see, just go to artbell.com. Go to Program, go to Tonight's Guest Info. There you will see the name Neil Slade. Scroll down. First thing you'll see will be real video, Fire Brain Man, high speed and low speed versions. I recommend the high speed if you can do it. It'll blow your mind. This guy, it shows a guy with an electrode hooked up to his amygdala. You see, I'm never going to be able to say that word unless I see it. If I see it and it's somewhere here in the paperwork, I can pronounce it. Amygdala. Amygdala. Why am I blocking that word? Amygdala. He's got a wire hooked up, and then you will show. You'll see the doctor actually shock the cameraman. There's video and sound here. I mean, you can see the whole thing. He'll shock the cameraman, then the sound man, actually give him a shock, and then toward the end, the most amazing thing you've ever seen of all, a man will set a newspaper on fire with his hands. He's not even touching the paper when it occurs. It is absolutely amazing. That's on the website right now, and it should be a precursor, or should certainly, if you have a computer, to go with listening to what you're about to hear tonight. Because it's amazing. Nothing short of amazing. It is there right now. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from May 8th, 2001.
I should tell you a little bit about Neil Slade, shouldn't I, now that we have him here? Neil Slade is a teacher, musical composer, concert performer, author, and for 11 years was primary assistant to brain and behavior researcher TDA Lingo at the Dormant Brain Research and Development Laboratory situated high in the Colorado Rocky Wilderness. He's been heard on radio stations around the world, explaining to Londoners and Russians alike how ordinary citizens can turn on fantastic, unprecedented levels of new intelligence, creativity, and pleasure, as well as obviously paranormal abilities such as telepathy, precognition, clairvoyance, clairaudience, whatever that is, and telekinesis, as easily as clicking on a light switch. Slade has even been employed by the Denver Public Schools to teach an entire elementary school student body and the teachers how to circuit past reptile brain attack behaviors and into fun, cooperative trust intelligence by merely learning a few brain basics. His five books on brain self-control are all recommended by the prestigious Mensa International Journal. That's not bad, huh? As well as the respected Bloomberry Review, National Book Review Magazine, and the National Alternative Press. He maintains a very extensive worldwide website, The Amazing Brain Music Adventure, at www.neilslade.com. We've got a link up to that right now on the website. But you must see this video, and by now I trust that many of you have, so that when we do get call-in part of this show, you will have seen it, and you'll be able to comment. You've either got to believe the man is doing it as you see it done on video here, or it's some kind of magic trick. Or as I said earlier, magic may apply simply to those things that our brain can't comprehend as possible. It's magic. Here's Neil Slade. And now, Neil, you were telling me something about your dog did this, right? Your dog?
My dogs ate my homework.
Your dog ate your homework. What?
No, you know what it was?
What was it?
Computer, unbeknown to me, had dialed out.
Yes.
And you had gotten my internet answering machine service.
Your internet answering machine service.
Yes. When I'm online, it works just like my telephone answering machine. So it sounded like you got, hi, this is Neil Slade.
I did, yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, my apologies, and I'm sending my computer into the corner now for being bad.
Yeah, and they're going to take over one day, too. Well, all right, so listen. Earlier tonight, I crawled to the computer when I woke up from my evening nap, and first thing I looked at was this video. And it blew me away, of course. It's going to do that for everybody. You watch this, and let's talk about exactly what the hell's going on in this video, shall we?
You got to tell people, if they don't have a home computer, get to your public library.
Yeah, that's right.
And either go to your site or my site and look at this video. It is
right,
absolutely authentic.
For the sightless, or, you know, those who really don't have a computer, the whole group that's not going to be able to see this, let us describe what's in this video and what's happening.
This is a video produced by Lawrence and Lorne Blair. It's not a video, it's actually from a film documentary of their travels through Indonesia.
Okay.
And they spent 10 years back in the 80s sailing on boats from island to island, and they went to all the Indonesian islands.
Okay.
And discovered all kinds of interesting, you know, ways that people live. They went into the deep woods of rainforest of Borneo, where white man had never been before. They went to Java, they went to Bali, all the little islands, and they just, you know, their film is about their travels, this particular film. In one segment of this film...
You mean they went before Mr. Burnett and Survivor?
Apparently so.
Just kidding. Go ahead.
And, very well respected, we're talking serious filmmakers here.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, Lorne, who is one of the cameramen, got an eye infection, and so they went to the island of Java, and they heard about a physician, a Taoist physician on the island.
Right.
And that he would, they went to him so he would cure the eye infection so they could continue filming.
Right.
So the video is of their visit to this doctor's office. Now the doctor had a reputation, and they had given him the name Dynamo Jack. His name actually does not appear in the film for the simple reason that he is a recluse, and he's not looking for publicity.
Well, if this is real,
yes,
nobody could blame him. But
yes.
I mean, after seeing this,
yeah,
there are going to be people listening to this program buying tickets to Borneo.
Well, you know, I just spoke with Lawrence Blair on the phone a couple hours ago.
Yes.
I called him in Bali,
mm-hmm.
and he lives actually about 30 miles from me here up in Boulder, Colorado. And I talked with his producer, and I called Lawrence, and I wanted to get some more, you know, details that I didn't yet have on this doctor. And he's now... He's working on a new book and a movie about this particular individual who is absolutely remarkable. He recently had scientists, we're talking about, you know, hard-nosed scientists
right.
from the European community come and check the guy out and make sure there were no tricks
right.
and that that this was not sleight of hand. And he told me about some of the things that Dynamo Jack was doing in the presence of the scientists.
So they call him Dynamo Jack.
They call him Dynamo Jack, and he's not going to give out his name.
All right. So anyway, I don't care. So yeah. Anyway, Dynamo Jack treated the eye, right?
He treated the eye.
And
so
what happened?
In the video, you see him putting the acupuncture needles in a couple locations, one of which is right in front of the amygdala. You know how we explain many times to people how they can point to their amygdala.
Is that what that is? That's not a wire then, or it
that's
is?
That's a one-inch needle into the brain.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Really, I'd rather have an eye infection.
Well, I've actually had that acupuncture done myself.
You have?
Yes, and it causes absolutely no discomfort.
I thought it was a wire. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to watch it again. Oh, my God. There
yes, and you can see him twist it into his skull.
Oh, there. You're right. I'm watching it right now. twist. Oh no. Hey,
then,
give me an eye infection any day.
Yeah, so this needle, it looks like it's in back of the eyeball and in the region of the amygdala.
Okay, well, what made me think it was hooked up to a wire was he has a wire around his neck. What is that?
Oh, a wire around his neck?
Or something around his neck, yes.
Boy, I didn't catch that. Now, you're talking about the doctor?
No. I'm talking about your man. He's got something around his neck.
Oh, I'll have to look at that. It's probably just a necklace.
Well, is your own computer hooked up?
Yeah, it would take me a second, and I can do that without disconnecting myself here, and I'll fire this right up. And I'll look at that.
All right.
And then I'll tell you what that is.
All right, good. Anyway,
and
yeah,
I'll turn down the volume here on my computer.
Yeah, that's fine. You'll just
now
see
you're
it.
Talking about something around the neck of... it's just it looks like a medallion. It's a long medallion that Lorne was wearing. And it's, I believe, a piece of leather. And it's insignificant in this particular thing.
Okay.
So what the physician is doing now... He is creating electricity in his body. Now, you've heard of electric acupuncture, where
yes.
They hook the acupuncture needles up to an electrical generating machine.
Can I stop you for just one second?
Yeah.
We'll come right back here.
Sure.
When he was twisting that real long needle into that guy's brain.
Yes.
Since you've had it done.
Yes.
Could I ask what it's like? What does it feel like to have a needle screwed into your brain? Just
you don't.
Curious.
You just feel a little tingling the outside of the skin. So it depends. You know, I've had a lot of acupuncture done, and I've had it done by different people.
And?
Sometimes the pain can be, some people think that all acupuncture is painless. Well, this is not true. Sometimes it is almost unbearable as it's being put in. Now, as a general rule, once an acupuncture needle is in and placed,
yes.
it's painless.
Yeah, well, sure, it's not moving at that point.
It's not moving, but sometimes when it's screwed in, now I've had some
screwing
done on my,
in. Yeah.
Once I've had some done on my feet, where you had to give me a bullet to bite into while this needle was being put in, and
right.
While it was being put in, it hurt, and once it was done. I was fine, no problem. I've never had an acupuncture needle that actually hurt while it was in place. The one that had gone into my amygdala points, there was just a little tingling sensation on the outside. There was no pain while it was being inserted.
Is there no danger in screwing a thing into a person's brain like that?
Well, this by all means, don't try this at home, kids.
No, you have to know
what you're doing.
But I mean, even with somebody who really knows what they're doing, without the aid, for example, of some sort of visual aid that would allow the person to look at your brain while they're doing this, so they know where they're going. Wouldn't there be some small? You must have thought about all this before you did it, right?
Yes, but the people who I've been involved with who've done acupuncture, I trust implicitly, and these are people with decades of experience.
I mean, I'd want to have an MRI machine going or something so they knew exactly where they were going, but somehow they know.
This particular point that I had done in my head is not that uncommon in acupuncture. So again, don't try this at home, folks. You know, all acupuncture should be done by somebody who is a qualified, licensed acupuncture specialist. So, you know, it sounds pretty hairy, but I generally had very good experience with acupuncture.
I've had nightmares about stuff like that. Really?
I've learned to do it on myself.
You've screwed these things into your own brain?
Not into my brain.
Good.
In other acupuncture points in my feet and in my arms.
Oh, fine. I understand that. I understand that. But you've not done any of your own brain work, so to speak.
No. Don't recommend it.
Would you recommend that people try it with somebody who knows what they're doing, like this man?
Well, that's the only way to try it. You know, you don't want your neighbor experimenting on you.
You're frankly down.
And in Colorado, I believe you have to be licensed to do acupuncture.
Wait till you get a load of this. Are they then allowed to acupuncture the brain? Or is there some regulation about that in the U.S.?
I think once you get your acupuncture license, it's, you know, no holds barred.
Real? No holds barred. Cute, Neil. When did you do this?
It's been done recently. You know, I did some of my own points as recently as a couple weeks ago.
The brain one.
Oh, the brain one?
Yeah.
I'd say this was 2 years ago. And I had a friend who was diagnosed with MS, and he had some needles put in his brain as well.
Yes.
And it's not that uncommon. If you have eye disorders, you'll have needles put in, and that's going to be going very close to the brain as well.
Where do they put those?
Well, you know, this. If we're looking at the video, it's probably, you know, this needle is placed in an area that is adjacent to the amygdala and probably, into the rear of the eyeball as well. So.
Really,
this was an eye ailment that he was treated for.
That's right. All right, listen, Neil, we're at the bottom of the hour. Hold on. Neil Slade is my guest. Lots to talk about tonight. An incredible video at artbell.com. This is one you really got to see.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up. Listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from May 8, 2001.
Good morning. The brain guy is here, Neil Slade, and I distracted him a little bit and stopped him from giving a sort of a vocal rendering of the visual rendition you can get on my website of this absolutely astounding piece of video. There's sound and video. Go see it. Trust me on this. Your friends are going to want to see it. You'll complain if you don't see it. So just take the time and trouble and go to your computer and go to artbell.com and see it. I distracted him because to me there's always been something particularly horrible about the specter of taking a needle and screwing it into somebody's brain. I mean, that's about, to me, that's as bad as it gets. And I can tell you something, I'd have one awful eye infection before I'd ever let anybody screw anything in my brain. For an eye infection, I wouldn't do it. Give me penicillin. But no, there's so much more to this story that I didn't mean to distract him. We'll get back to that story in a moment for those who cannot see.
Now, we take you back to the past on Art Bell Somewhere in Time.
Here we go again, and we're going to try and pick story up now. I'm going to try and mentally get past the needle getting screwed into the brain. All right, Neil.
Yeah.
Let us proceed. So that's what you see. You see that that site at the beginning of the video, the needle into the brain, and then what?
Then Dynamo Jack, Dr. Dynamo Jack, applies electricity to the acupuncture needles. Now, the reason for this is that you can supplement or, you know, supercharge the effect of an acupuncture needle by applying current to it.
Sure. Okay. Do you know offhand how much current? Voltage and current?
In this particular case, I don't know the exact current. And as a general rule, I couldn't tell you how much voltage it is.
Okay.
It's something that would... I haven't had the electric acupuncture done, but I have been told it just feels like a warmth or a heat. You feel it as heat being applied to where that is. And the doctors who use that have a big machine that sits on a tabletop, and you plug it in to 120 volts,
mm-hmm.
and then through the transformer, mm-hmm. it sends the safe amount of current through the acupuncture jump cables, which are clipped onto the acupuncture needle.
Jump cables.
However...
All right, you know, I really, in the future, if you're able to find out for me,
yeah.
I would like to know the voltage and current involved, but I understand you don't know. So, jumper cables, I don't know, I'd use that phrase.
Well, that's what they look like. They have little spring clips on the end. And so I'll find that out for you, and I'll let you know how much voltage.
Right.
You know, it's a variable amount of voltage, and I believe that depends on the acupuncture needle site and the ailment as well.
Right.
But in this particular video, electric acupuncture is used. However, there's no machine plugged in. What's happening is this Taoist physician is producing the electric current
himself,
like a human electric eel, in his own body. And then by putting his hands, and he's focusing the electric current to flow into his arms,
right.
and then into his fingertips, he twists the needles or touches the needles with his hands, and this transfers the electric current into the needles. Now, Lauren talks about on the video, and you can see the involuntary motion that his arms and his hands are going through. You know, when you
he's jumping around like a fish on a frying pan.
That's right. Yeah.
Put it
and
mildly.
And he's feeling it, and he's saying it's not a very. He doesn't describe it as a mild shock. He says he's getting very powerful electric currents going through his body.
Right.
Now the other camera.
I will tell you what little I do know about what you can feel and what you can't feel, but. As a general circumstance, I mean, you can take a 9-volt battery and put it on your tongue. You'll get a little tingle. You'll get nothing at all from your hands. Holding it with an average dry hand, I suppose it's going to take about 48, 50 volts, somewhere in there, for the human to even begin to feel it. So the amount of current and voltage that we're talking about here, at least voltage, must be fairly substantial. I would think substantially above 50 volts, and that's just an educated guess, Neil.
Lawrence describes this doctor's power as industrial strength.
Yeah.
He says he gave demonstrations of lighting light bulbs with his hand.
Lighting light bulbs?
Holding a light bulb and lighting it.
Oh, well,
we're not talking about, you know, 9 volts here, or, you know, half an amp. We're talking electric socket current.
Yeah, I understand. Why don't we just allow immigration of, thousands of fellows like this and make them stay in California and it's all over.
That could do it.
Anyway, it is amazing. I mean, what you're talking about is simply amazing. All right, so fine.
So
light up light bulbs.
So, you know, the camera crews and Lawrence, who is doing some, observing, and then there's a woman with a microphone. Everyone's going, well, that looks interesting, but, you know, we're kind of skeptical.
Skeptical.
And
yes.
Lawrence says, he says, well, is there any way you can generate the electricity other than through your hands? He says, no, generally it's through my hands. And he says, here, hold out your hand,
right,
and I'll show you.
That's right.
This might burn a little.
Right.
It's nothing, he says.
Right.
And then he holds out his hand, and, you know, like that picture on the Sistine Chapel where, you know, the two hands meet.
Right.
He gives Lawrence such a shock that he jumps back.
Jumps back. Yeah, there's no question about it. He got shocked.
Now, Simi, who is
the sound
holding the microphone, she's skeptical. You know, she says, wait, I don't believe this.
Right.
So the doctor then says, okay, you come over here, and he pulls up his shirt. Now, he explains that the electric current in his body is something that he has been trained to produce with meditation, with his mind and brain.
Right.
And that he was trained since he was a child for 18 years to develop this skill using his mind brain. And he does it to heal. Okay? We can talk a little more about that later. But anyway, he pulls up his shirt and he says, you know, I have learned how to harness the yin yang energies in my body.
Right.
And he says the yin comes up here and the yang comes down here, and they meet here in my stomach. They meet here in my stomach, and he points to his stomach.
Right.
So he pulls up his shirt and he says, put your hand here. And this very skeptical microphone holder person puts her hands on his stomach. And she howls. She goes, whoa! And
yeah, that's absolutely
jump in the
true.
Video,
absolutely true.
And she can't, it's like, totally surprised.
Right.
Because,
see and hear all of this, folks, on the video on the website.
And I believe you actually hear the microphone pop. And
yep.
I edited this tape so you don't see her doing this. But she starts tapping on the microphone to show that, you know, it picked up the sound of this electrical pop from her.
Right.
So that's the basic demonstration. And then they ask him how, you know, his background, and he explains that he's done it by using the power of his mind brain through the meditation, that he can focus it. And that really this is a latent power, he says. What he can do is nothing special, that everybody can do this if they would only learn to focus their mind. Okay? And he then does the final demonstration, and he takes an ordinary newspaper and holds it up to the camera, tears a big sheet, and then crumples it very, very loosely and sets it down on the ground.
That's right.
In front of everyone.
That's right.
And then he holds out his arm.
Camera's rolling.
Camera's rolling nonstop. And he holds his hand, I'd say about an inch or two above the newspaper.
Right.
And then you see him sort of like take a breath, pull his arm back a little bit, and then you see his arm and hand vibrate, and he's obviously concentrating very hard.
Right.
The newspaper starts to smoke, and within 2 seconds, the whole thing bursts into flame. And it's engulfed by flame, and within seconds, the newspaper is completely burnt up, and you see the fire and the smoke, and he stamps it out with his feet.
Yep. Everything you just heard described, folks, is available to be seen on video with audio on my website right now. Go to tonight's program. I think that's what it is up here, right? Tonight's program. Program. It just says program on the left. Tonight's guest info, and then just simply click on, it says real video right below Neil Slade's name and bio, and then high speed or low speed. If you can get it, do get the high speed one. It might take a little longer, but it's much better quality.
I've played the high speed video on a slower computer, and it sort of shows it like a slideshow. So
yeah.
It's nice and clear.
Yeah.
But so, you know, try both and see which one you get.
Which one works best for you?
The only time I've ever seen a newspaper burst into flames so quickly and burn up so quickly is when I put a newspaper into a frighteningly hot fireplace.
Yeah.
That had been burning logs for hours.
Yeah, and you reach the moment or instant of ignition, boom, like that.
Yes, it's like instantaneous. And
yeah.
That's what we see in this video. And there's no way that he could have, you know, dropped him. I mean, first of all, there's no motive for trickery.
And he says anybody can do this, right?
He says this is a power that is in every person.
All right, listen carefully, Neil. Listen now. Do you hear that?
Yes.
That's your bio. Now, I'm putting it right on the table. I've already read it, so I have to read it again. I put it right on the table in front of me right now, and I'm going to be working on causing this to burst into flames between now and the end of the show.
Okay.
And I don't think it's going to happen. Obviously, it takes a great deal of some kind of training to get to this point. I mean, you don't just jump into that kind of talent.
And it's very specific training, see? It's not the kind of training where you people might wonder, why did I even deliver this video? What's the point of the video?
Oh, well, there's a big point.
You know, the point is, what is the most powerful force you have at your disposal? What do you want in life? You know, what do you want to what do you want to get? Where do you want to go? Where do you see yourself a year from now or 5 years from now? And what are you going to use to get there? Are you going to run around the block 20 times, right? Are you going to go to a vending machine at the supermarket and stick in 50 cents? The most powerful force you have at your disposal is right between your two ears. It's the same force that Dynamo Jack uses to create electricity with his hands.
Right.
It's the same force that he uses to make that newspaper reach the flash point. And that power and force is in your human brain. And that's why I brought this video for people to see. Here's a person who has learned to focus his brain, mind, energy on healing.
Well,
healing for you.
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir to me. I know you're right. I know the brain is very powerful, but for the skeptics out there,
yeah,
how carefully was this fellow investigated? I mean, you must admit that what we see on this video is to us magic. It's magic to us. What, you know, our little brains explain something like this as, it's a magic trick. It's baloney. It can't be true because we don't perceive that it can be true. I mean, it just is unacceptable to our brains that something like this that we can see here could occur. So we explain it as magic, or we say, what a bunch of bunk, or something. I don't know. We, you know, it's inexplicable, so we try and explain it. We fit it into a category, and either it's magic or it's bunk.
Yeah.
That's what some people are going to do. Now,
sure, and I've even gotten a couple emails already to that effect. And
yep.
And what you have to say to those kind of people is, well, number one, I implicitly trust the filmmakers, and we're talking about Lawrence and Lauren Blair, who are essentially documentary filmmakers, highly respected, have had their work on PBS. They are not out to fool or trick anyone, or there's no motive for them to presenting a fraudulent bit of information. That's number one.
Yeah, I wouldn't suggest that.
the other thing people might say is, well, yeah, but this guy pulled the wool over their eyes.
Right,
well,
right.
He has no motive for it. He, in fact, didn't want his name on the film. His profession is as a doctor, not as an entertainer.
Yes.
With a background, as he said, he was a trained Taoist, trained in Taoist meditation.
PBS did something on it, huh?
I believe many years ago I first saw this clip on PBS.
Okay.
Okay?
All right, so...
And now, in the preparation for the upcoming book and movie that Lawrence is doing on this fellow now, he got the scientists to come to Bali and did the research. But Dynamo Jack is not the first one to undergo really rigorous scientific investigation.
Oh, I know a lot of yogis have.
There's a fellow, and I got a lot of information on this fellow. His name is Swami Rama. Swami Rama is a Himalayan yoga master. Grew up in the Himalayan mountains of India, and in the 60s came to the United States and began traveling in the Western countries to teach meditation and yoga. In the spring and autumn of 1970, he conducted, at the request of the Menninger Foundation, this is a research establishment in Topeka, Kansas, with a long, respected history, and they were running a voluntary controls research program. And among the people that they invited to investigate with Swami Rama, there's another fellow, Jack Schwartz, who also demonstrated extraordinary voluntary controls of the mind and body and demonstrated telekinesis and so on. Under very stringent laboratory conditions, despite what the amazing Randy might claim as scientists having the wool pulled over their eyes.
Now, shouldn't this video cost Randy $1 million?
Yeah, it should, shouldn't it?
Yes, it should.
It really should.
It should make Randy's $1 million.
Well, you know, I should pass that along to Lawrence and say, hey, listen, here's an easy million. And I'll mention that to him.
It's never easy with Randy.
Yeah, well, you know, I've noticed that, too, that Randy manages to find loopholes and things like that.
But so. You would think, though, that, I mean, Dynamo Jack, much as he might not want to be in the public eye, could probably be into. He's there, and he's probably not getting, you know, the kind of money American doctors get, even close.
I
bet he could use the million.
Possibly, he mentioned to Lawrence, and I get this via the producer, that he was starting to have bad dreams about all the publicity, and he really has no desire for fame or fortune. His ability is a purely frontal lobes, cooperative, compassionate service. And this ties very much in with what Patch Adams was talking about last night. The true healer does not have the thoughts of riches or fame or material desires.
Right.
And in my opinion, one of the reasons that this particular doctor is able to draw upon these powers is because they are very much integrated with the whole system of compassionate, cooperative behaviors.
Obviously, though he didn't exactly say it, the power that he has could be used to heal, or it could also be used, if you wanted it to, at his level, to kill.
Absolutely.
Very quickly kill without ever touching somebody, right?
Yep.
All right. Hold it right there, Neil. We're at the top of the hour. Neil Slade is my guest, and we're talking about our brains. We all have one, to some degree or another.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time.
My heart is on fire. I saw.
Somewhere in Time with Art Bell continues, courtesy of Premier Networks.
I tried, for 20 minutes, I tried to set Neil's bio on fire. I hovered my hand very close to the paper times, actually touching it, hoping for something, and there was nothing. So I decided, well, I'm going to have some fun then. And so I took Neil's bio, and I turned my web camera on, and I lit it with my Bic. And I thought, this will make a cool webcam picture. So I got back here, and I was waiting for it to snap. You know, it snaps every 2 minutes. And so when I thought it was getting close, I lit it, and I was sitting here waiting for it to snap, and the fire was getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I was waiting for it to snap, and then it started burning my hand, and finally it snapped. And it was so underwhelming, because when you go to look at the picture on my webcam right now, you're going to really, it's hard to discern between the paper and the fire and the fact that it's scorching my hand. Then, after it snapped the picture, I had a real hard time getting it out, and it smelled terrible, and it burned my hand. So that wasn't even worth it at all. So if you go now to my my webcam, you will see me holding this paper, which is actually on fire, but you can barely tell that. You can hardly tell that. Wasn't even worth it. And now I don't have his bio anymore anyway. Anyway, Neil Slade, see, the video on my website is nothing like this. This guy did it for real. It is awesome to see. We're going to continue talking with Neil about our brains in a moment. Stay right. Boy, this does hurt. Stay right there.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from May 8th, 2001.
By the way, for those of you who have written me, say, some of you hear what's going on during the network breaks, and because of the after strike, they're not playing the usual public service announcements during the break that they used to play because of actors' fees or whatever in the hell the big struggle is going on right now. So they have sent us this strange music that we are supposed to play during the breaks. It's not my choice of music. This is generic music. And it's pretty awful. But we're playing that during the breaks until the resolution of whatever in the hell's going on is resolved. Just thought you might want to know. I get a lot of emails on that. Some of you don't ever hear it. Others who hear the breaks do hear it. And that's it's not our fault. We have nothing to do with that. When the stupid thing is over, we'll get back to normal. And we don't know when that'll be. All right, back now to Neil Slade. Well, now your bio's toast, and so is part of my palm.
Hold your hand in a bowl of cold water. I think that may help.
Yeah, sure. I'll do that during the show. All right, so our brain really is that powerful, huh?
It's the command center, you know. It's the one part of your body you can't do without.
Ah, yes. Now, let me stop you there. One of the points that we're going to bring up a lot of new stuff tonight. We've talked about cloud busting in the past, and who knows, we may touch on it. But you have this notion that our body may have a second brain.
Yeah.
Now, that's some notion.
Believe me, this is not my idea. I'm relaying to you and your audience,
yes,
the newest scientific findings on our nervous system. And interestingly enough, it really ties in with Dynamo Jack. Because
okay.
Dynamo right. Jack, when he explains where he's generating the electricity from that he then guides and controls with his big brain, he points to the area where the scientists are saying our second brain is.
And where is that?
In our belly.
In our bellies.
That's right. And it also ties in with other information that I've gathered from other people who have shown extraordinary controls of mind-body.
Campbell, scientists have extensively x-rayed, MRI'd, and otherwise looked at our bellies, and as far as I know, they haven't seen anything that looks like brain stuff down there.
Well,
right?
Here's what it is. There's a nervous system in the belly, and we're talking about in the intestines, called the enteric nervous system. And it's been kind of, you know, we knew about this, but it's been kind of ignored, but doctors are now understanding how it is so similar to our big brain in our head, and that it's just not an extension of the nervous system. Now, what it is, it's a network of nerves that surrounds the let me state it this way. Scientists who study the network surrounding the esophagus, stomach, and intestines compare the better known brain in the head to a mainframe computer, for example.
Right.
Okay. But
our intestinal brain is more like the Commodore 64?
Well, yes, because the biological belly brain is a relic of the distant past, when at a time when the most important thing in life was eating as opposed to thinking. Okay. Now, you know, millions of years before the dinosaurs, okay, thinking about tomorrow was distinctly less important than finding the good grub for today, for example. These primitive animals had another concern, and the main concern was keeping their belly full, okay? Now, when animals evolved into doing something more than eating, then they evolved the better-known brain in the skull, okay? Now, they know by studying growing fetuses in the womb,
yes,
that both brains actually originate from a structure called the neural crest. And it appears and divides during fetal development, and then it forms these both separate thinking parts of the brain. They know that this enteric brain, which they've begun studying, and the expert in this field is a fellow by the name of Michael Gershon, who has actually written a book called The Second Brain. The difference between this bundle of nerves and the rest of the nerves, such as the nerves that we have that control motor movement that go through our arms and legs, is that this bundle of nerves in our belly is independent. It is capable of independent actions. Now, for example, if we were to cut a connection from the base of our brain, we would no longer be able to move the tips of our fingers.
Right.
We would lose that motor, and we'd lose the sensory information.
Absolutely correct, yes.
Okay. However, you can take the second brain in the belly and separate it from the brain, and it will still continue to function on its own.
That is interesting. Additionally, there is the very famous story of the lady who received the transplant from the 18-year-old boy, middle-aged lady, heart and lung she got.
Yes.
And as you know, she woke up with the wants of an 18-year-old boy and actually ended up dreaming the donor's name, which was a secret. And this came right after she received the heart and lungs of this 18-year-old. It's an amazing story, and it's absolutely true.
I'm familiar with the story, and she had a craving for, it was either beer or Kentucky Fried Chicken. Or
yeah, all the
like
things
that
he liked.
That she couldn't explain.
That she didn't like. Yeah, that's absolutely
true.
Because
she had never had that.
Then she actually dreamed his name, which is impossible. So anyway, that would seem to suggest that there is some sort of cellular memory in our body parts, and particularly those, our heart, our lungs, which are in the center of our body here?
Well, there's a write-up of this particular subject in a German magazine called Geo, and a Professor Wolfgang Prinz believes all this research is giving new meaning to the saying gut reaction.
Gut reaction.
the gut reaction. This particular area, this bundle, this knot of nerves, receives a lot of information from the brain, but the new study is showing that 9 times more information is going from the gut up to the brain.
Huh.
We're talking about 100 billion nerve cells. This is more nerve cells in this area than held in the entire spinal cord. Now, Dr. Prince believes that one of the functions of this area in the belly may be the storing and memory of feelings, of information, and that...
How about especially the food that it is processed for all its living time? In other words, it's processed, what, beer or whatever else it was she wanted. It's processed all of these foods, right? They go through your stomach, your intestinal tract. They just make their way all over the place, right?
Yeah.
So it would have certainly memory of that which it has previously processed and enjoyed. Ah.
That's a distinct possibility. And this is what Dr. Prince is saying, that these gut reactions we have, in other words, feelings towards, like you're suggesting, foods that we eat, but he's suggesting that other types of behaviors that we may exhibit and process.
Base type behaviors or complex behaviors?
Unconscious, subconscious, probably base and complex, because any complex behavior that we have is a collection of simpler behaviors tied together.
Well, then one might, by inference, imagine that some of our collective consciousness also resides there.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. It may be that the power, this meeting of the yin and yang that our Dynamo Jack is drawing upon is more than just his own personal power, but perhaps the collective conscious memory connection that's emanating from his belly.
So then when people say things like, I've got a feeling in the pit of my stomach, they're not just kidding. They mean literally, or at least you mean literally, in the pit of their stomach.
Right, absolutely. And what's also very interesting is many psychoactive medicines that are designed to affect the psychology and the mood altering of patients. Those same drugs, almost without exception, have an effect on the activity in the stomach and in the digestive tract and in this area of the brain. And the reason being is that, unlike the other nerves in the system, this enteric brain in our belly has the same neurotransmitters as the big brain in our head. So what we're finding is what the scientists are finding is all these similarities between this independently operating brain in the belly and the brain in the head. Now, what clicked when I discovered this was a couple of pieces of information concerning these higher states of consciousness derived from meditation, and the similarity in technique, not of technique, but the the way in which this belly area of the body is used by people who practice yogic healing and meditation.
All right, to me, it's to imagine, first of all, the kind of voltages that you're talking about that we can see applied in this video, or would be required to set the paper on fire, or apparently do what was seemingly done to those people in the video. Those voltages just, I don't see how they could be physically marshaled by the body, ever. I mean, we have nothing like that. The voltages that are measured generally in our body, in our brains, or any part of our body, are little, tiny, barely measurable. Yes, they're voltages, but barely detectable. It takes very sensitive equipment to measure that voltage. And you're talking about something so many magnitudes greater that I don't see how it could be.
Well, you're an electronics person, so you understand the principles of transformers, correct?
Yes, I do.
Now, if you take a wire and you wrap it around and around and around, you can step up the voltage from a very low amount of voltage to a very high amount of voltage.
That's right.
Okay. Now, what if this 100 billion nerve cells acts as a
transformer?
As a transformer.
In other words, if the discipline involved by this man is to have the brain arrange these nerve cells so that they're conducting in a manner that would be similar to a transformer, that's very interesting.
Many years ago, I read all of the Carlos Castaneda books.
Yes.
And when I saw Dynamo Jack and then saw this connection with the brain in the stomach, something clicked.
Right.
And I remember years ago, Carlos Castaneda reported Don Juan's teaching. And Don Juan said, the will is in your belly. Do you recall this?
Yes.
And one of the things that Don Juan would have Carlos do is practice projecting the will from the belly, like tentacles, like an octopus tentacles.
Right.
And focus on moving the will from the belly. Mm. So again, here's reference to this other nerve brain center in the body. And then we see Dynamo Jack. He's pointing to his belly, saying, this is where the yin and the yang come together.
That's what he said, all right.
Right?
Yep.
Another reference to this belly comes from, now I've just, a mental block on my, let's see, where did I, no, I can't think of it.
You're stuck.
I just slipped my mind.
Well, you've been clicked over in one way too long or something. That's all right. You'll find it. You'll think of it. It's no big deal.
So there are references to this. Oh, okay. Now I just remembered what it was. Mantak Chia is a Taoist doctor and a meditation master.
And
in his seminars, he teaches people, among other things, how to guide the energy in their body. And he also references to this belly area. And the way that he puts it is, he says the energy flows in a circular pattern around the body. It moves up the spine, over the top of the head, and then down towards the belly, and starts all over again. And by concentrating on this particular area of the body, you can then increase the amount of chi energy in the body.
Chi energy.
Bring along better health.
All right. No, listen, I'm okay with your description. Now, yes, I know what a transformer does and how it does it. And so, yes, if one could direct one's nerve endings to act, in effect, as a transformer would, and I can imagine that could be done with your brain,
then you could take it around and around and around and around and produce a tremendous amount of voltage from that infinitesimal amount of voltage. Definitely could be done if you could do it. Pretty good analogy, actually. This is Coast to Coast AM.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from May 8th, 2001.
Far, we've been traveling far. Without a home, but not without a star.
Premier Networks presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from May 8th, 2001.
Good morning. Neil Slade is here, and we're talking about our brains, and he just said something makes all kinds of sense to me about a transformer. I think I can buy that one. This is an amazing man, an amazing story, and an amazing video on my website. For those who keep saying, I can't find it, just go to artbell.com, all right? Click on Program on the left, tonight's guest info. Below the name Neil Slade, you'll see right there, real video, Fire Brain Man, high speed or low speed. Click on one of those and see for yourself. That's all I can say. See for yourself. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from May 8th, 2001.
Once again, back to Neil Slade. Neil, welcome back.
Thank you.
So then, we might have two brains. What do you think that our other brain thinks about? Does it think stuff like, oh no, not popcorn again? Or does it have higher thoughts? Like, I guess it does have higher thoughts, doesn't it? In other words, it contemplates almost subconsciously that something is either a good idea or a bad idea. Pit of my stomach, gut feeling, all those expressions relate to an intuitive nature of some sort, right?
That's what my gut feeling is telling me. I think this is true. I think it's not a verbal brain. I think it's a more intuitive. Mm-hmm. It may very well tie in with the telepathic, paranormal, nonverbal sense that we get about things. This, you know, perfectly described by the word gut feeling. And I think what the teachers such as Don Juan and Mantak Chia are pointing to is learning how to integrate these nonverbal gut feelings into our whole being so that we function as a whole rather than being, you know, compartmentalized, into verbal information or logical information or, you know, that kind of thing.
Okay.
When we think of the belly, we tend to think of a big unit. We think it's the center of our whole body, as it were.
I'm losing weight. It's not that big a unit anymore. Mine, anyway. All right, so anyway, you've got so much I want to cover with you here. There are pleasure points in the brain,
uh-huh.
Right?
Yes.
Pleasure points. We know there are other points that aren't so pleasurable, but there are definitely pleasure points. And you have talked before, touched on this program, on the one-hour orgasm,
uh-huh.
Which you claim is possible. I see you call it braingasm here.
Yeah.
I don't know why you call it that. I guess now an orgasm, where does a person have their orgasm? Do they have it? You know, that's an orgasm, actually, all kidding aside, which is almost impossible when you get on the subject, but all kidding aside for a second, do we really know when you have an orgasm where it comes from?
We actually know the spot in the brain.
We do.
And it's a...
It's tied to the sexual organs, but the place that produces the feeling isn't there, right? It's in your brain.
It's in your brain. It's called the septal area. And there's a couple of neurotransmitters, such as dopamine, that play a very important part in that part of the brain. It's not what I think. This has actually been proven by scans of the brain by researchers who have applied chemicals and have applied electrical currents to this part of the brain. And so they know where it's happening. And a fellow by the name of Alan Brower at Stanford University around 1980 published a book called ESO, and where he documents how he has taught laboratory subjects how to deliberately and consciously control the amount of peak sexual experience so that it lasts not for that 30 seconds, but that it goes on for a minute.
Well, let me back up what you're saying right now. I know this sounds crazy to a lot of people, but I had a physician on the show, a couple months ago, I guess now, and doing legitimate research into spinal cord injury. Are you familiar with where I'm going here?
No.
No? And this doctor, in trying to alleviate pain, people with horrible, unrelenting, terrible back pain, was doing experimentation with applying voltages to the spinal area. And he discovered that one certain area of the spine, it was all accidental. He discovered that if you apply the voltage, put the wires in there, and apply the voltage, it produced in his female patients instant orgasm at the push of a button. I'm not kidding you. This is very, very serious university level research. And in fact, he was so amazed by it. He was a gynecologist, and he was so amazed by it that he wasn't a gynecologist. I'm sorry. He was a surgeon of some sort, and he consulted with gynecologists about this, and they got to talking about it, and it's something that had never been approached before. He was so intrigued by the idea that he has patented the process and frankly says he expects to make money on it. But he applies voltage in just the right place to the spine, and orgasm is produced every time you press the button.
Interesting.
Now, of course, we know the spinal cord takes that message where? Straight up to the brain.
Straight up to the brain.
Straight up to the brain.
Well, what, so, you know, there have been many people who've begun to start writing books on this subject of how you increase the pleasure responses in the brain. Now, my angle has been that the observations that were made at the brain lab that I took part in found that this type of response was more a byproduct of clearing out malfunctions in the brain, that one didn't necessarily have to deliberately go after this type of experience. Dr. Brower taught his subjects a series of exercises they could do to accomplish this, and you'd have to practice this for a certain amount of time over a period of weeks and months, and you would get more and more, you know, increased pleasurable response to this. But people such as T.D. Lingo, when he started working with his subjects at the brain lab, found that when they began to discharge repressed trauma memories they had been carrying around since childhood,
yes,
one of the functions, apparently, of the orgasmic response was a cleansing out of the brain, as if the waste products from released trauma memories were cleansed out by this orgasmic process, and that ties in with Wilhelm Reich stated many years ago about the function of the orgasm. So what has been shown by the Stanford research has been something that was discovered long ago at the brain lab as just being a byproduct of a healthy brain.
So we may have unbelievable powers if we care to develop them. They're there now. They're latent. They only need be developed through the proper mental techniques. Yes?
This is the miracle of the dormant brain, as Nobel laureate Sir John Eccles said, the potential of the brain is infinite. And if one were to say, well, we're using 5% or 10% of our brain, it's too generous an estimate, because any percentage of infinity is an infinitely small percentage. We were talking a little bit before about, well, how do we get such a big charge out of what normally seems to be an insignificant charge,
right, that's
in
correct.
People?
Yes.
One analogy that I like to draw is the way that the mind and brain is used. Let's say we have this current in our brain, and it's the current is capable of doing work for us, whether it be intellectual work or whether it be physical work. And if you might envision a sprinkler head that you water your lawn with.
Right.
Okay?
Sure.
Now, the sprinkler head...
Is this the kind that goes all around or goes...
No, I'm talking about just a stationary... Well, no, really just the stationary sprinkler head that's got about 100 little holes in it.
Okay.
Right? And you put it on the middle of the lawn, you turn on the faucet,
gotcha,
and with a very gentle spray, it sprays a big area. Okay?
Yeah.
Or another way of picturing this would be those adjustable nozzles that you put on the end of the hose.
Oh, yes.
Right? And you kind of make it loose, and it covers a very wide area. Now, most of the time, most of us, this is how we're using our mind-brain energy, okay? We have one little sprinkler head hole, and it's going over here, and that's the brain energy that we use to wash our car. Then we've got another little hole that's pointing over here to Monday Night Football. And then we've got another little hole that's pointed over to doing our video computer game. And so our brain force mind energy is scattered in 100,000 different directions all at once. And we flip from activity to activity. And what we get is we get a sort of a gentle force that's accomplishing all the things that we accomplish in our life. But let's say we were to slowly eliminate those holes one by one, or tape up or plug up the holes. What happens to that gentle force? It's kind of like when you turn the nozzle on that hose, you know, turn the end of the nose thing, and you bring the spray, the gentle spray, so it's focusing on a more narrow and narrow and narrower beam. And suddenly what was a gentle spray that was covering the whole lawn has now become a very powerful single beam of water energy that will reach across the street, or that we can wash the windows 30 feet away from, or we can move, rocks out of the garden with this very powerful force. What we've done is we've taken all these multitude of forces and we've narrowed it down to a single beam, in the same way that a transformer steps up a current. By eliminating the scatter and focusing on one thing, we get a much more powerful force. And this is what the process of focusing the mind, either through a meditation or an abstract imagery exercise, does. You remove all of these scattered thoughts and you bring it to one thought.
Focus. And
this is a focus. And by focusing, you get power. Okay?
Yep.
Now, if you watch the video, I believe Dynamo Jack says, 18 years of meditation, focusing the mind. And if you focus, that's where the power comes
from. All right, what is brain feng shui? Feng shui as it applies, for example, to a building. My wife has told me that the area between our house and our garage that we built, which is a large hole, we have built large holes between buildings, and she says, good feng shui, it's good feng shui. But I don't know what brain feng shui is. What
brain feng shui is many people are familiar with the concept of feng shui now. It's becoming kind of an in
thing, yeah.
In thing, right. Brain feng shui is a creative method by which you use your own intuitive power.
Before you explain that, can you just tell me what feng shui is, period?
Feng shui is for those who are not familiar with it, it's an ancient art which deals with the placement of physical objects in the home and in the environment so that they help bring better life force energy into your environment.
It kind of sounds like a bunch of crap.
Well, no, it's actually something that's been practiced in China for centuries.
I know. To the average American, it's not like baloney. The placement of things affects everything.
Well, I'll give you a good example, and I think most people could relate to this. Did you ever walk into your house when things were just thrown all over the place, and things were scattered, and you didn't know where anything was? And you have got clothes that are thrown on the floor.
Yeah, like when you come back from a trip.
Yeah,
chaos.
You know, or you open up your refrigerator and there's stuff that's been growing and it's ready to move inside your. How does
that
affect?
Is that what your fridge looks like?
No. Definitely, I
don't. Sounded like personal experience.
Well, I can remember a time when I would allow that to happen.
Where actual things would grow in there.
Yeah. But do you ever try to work in an environment like that?
No, I can't stand it. In fact, I'm such a freak for everything being in its place.
You can watch my video cam day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year, and you will see everything has its place in my studio, in my home.
Your brain works better that way. You just feel better. You think clearer, don't you?
I acknowledge that. Yes.
You feel happier. You feel clear. And what is undeniable is that when you walk into a place that is clear and organized, it affects your not only your mental state of being, but your physical state of being as well.
In fact, I'll tell you how bad it is. If I'm sitting here doing a show and something falls down, I can't wait till a break. I will go over, I've got a long cord on my mic, and I will, for example, a picture. Even if a picture suddenly goes cattywampus, I can't handle it. I will go over and straighten the picture no matter what I'm doing. I will straighten that picture up. Hold on, we're at the top of the hour. Neil, we'll be right back. Any of the rest of you are is anybody else like that? I can't stand it. Everything has to be just so.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time.
With a tear in every room, all I want's the love you promised beneath the haloed moon. But you think I should be happy with your money and your name, and hide myself in sorrow while you play your cheating game.
Take you back to the past on Art Bell Somewhere in Time.
You know, music is an interesting thing, and it wraps right into what Neil does. I don't know why I like this piece of music so much, but it's arranged properly for my brain.
Somewhere in Time with Art Bell continues, courtesy of Premier Networks.
Once again, here's Neil Slade. Neil, welcome back.
Thanks. You know, I got a little story about cosmic memory.
Cosmic?
Can I relate that to you?
Yeah, sure. What is cosmic memory?
Well, you know, there's this state of mind we call cosmic consciousness.
Yes.
I believe you once told people of a dream that you had, or it was, you didn't call it a dream, but you felt yourself leaving your body. It's this timeless.
Oh, that wasn't a dream. That was not a dream, Neil. You're talking about an OBE. I've had
right.
one, and there's
well,
no question.
Well, you were in bed when it happened.
I beg your pardon?
You were in bed.
I wasn't dead?
No, you were in bed.
Oh, in bed, yes. I was
yeah,
in,
that's
bed,
what
in
I meant.
Fact, in bed. But I guarantee you, I know dreams, I know nightmares, and I can differentiate by a million miles, you know, a dream and what happened to me in Paris. Trust me on this.
Oh, yeah. No, I believe you on that. It's this timeless sort of all-knowing, unity, peak consciousness experience.
I don't know. I don't know if I'd have called it that, but...
It's a connection with outside yourself. It's going beyond the limitations of what you know in your own.
Oh, big time, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, sure, sure.
Well, there's four known ways that historically people have been able to do this. One is the near-death experience, which is one good way to experience this cosmic connection or the cosmic memory or the what they call the Akashic records to view them. The drawback being that it may not be healthy for you. You may or may not come back from the near-death experience. The second way to achieve this cosmic consciousness is you can take a psychedelic drug, for example. You could take 500 milligrams of LSD or mushrooms. The drawback of this being is you could get arrested, or you might have a bummer trip. You know, you might see God, but you also might see Satan with this particular method.
Yep.
The third method is the traditional classical meditation and fasting method, and this seems to work for people. But again, even as Dynamo Jack attested, he had done it for 18 years. People sometimes meditate for 20 years before they have one of these cosmic consciousness experiences.
Well, most of the people like Dynamo Jack and the people, the New Agey people that you talk to, when you talk about these powers and these abilities, they say, the greater cosmos will only allow these things to be used for good. You cannot use these things for evil. Well, you know, that's a bunch of...
I used to say that's a steaming pile of...
You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely.
Even
yes.
Dynamo Jack said...
I got a side with you. You got me on that one. And, I mean, from the horse's mouth, he said you can use it to kill or to heal. It's
that's
your
right.
choice.
That's right.
So, yeah, I'm a convert.
I always thought that. I mean, if this stuff was true, then it's like any power... And you can name any power on Earth right now, and it can be used for good or evil.
I think the tendency is for people who do have these kind of powers, though, is to use them for good.
So
because
maybe
I think they recognize the law of karma and that kind of thing.
Well,
so I think
sure,
the great
okay.
tendency is that way. But anyway, back to this all-knowing information bank that's beyond the self. The fourth way is to focus on your frontal lobes and click the amygdala. And at the brain lab, people would report, and we talk about them having this peak experience from 2 weeks to 3 years once they start doing the amygdala clicking and other brain exercises. And the reason I thought of that was because I'd gotten an email from a 16-year-old, and back to memory. And he wrote to me and he said, "Hi, Neil, I'm 16, one of your younger brain explorers, I guess. Anyway, on Wednesday I had an interesting experience with the amygdala clicking. It was first period and I had a Spanish test I had failed to practice for. The teacher gave us 20 minutes to study for it. I decided to take a chance. So for the full 20 minutes, I did the amygdala clicking exercise off and on until the teacher said, 'Clear everything from your desk.' As soon as I started taking the test, I suddenly remembered everything, and my mind was completely clear, and I aced the test. Thought I'd share my experience with you." And then he has a Spanish sentence here that I can't understand because I don't understand Spanish. But here was an instance of a kid who clicked into the bigger universal cosmic memory by clicking the amygdala forward and connecting directly to that big source of information in the sky, and he aced his test. So that's another way. It's a quickie way. You know, you can meditate for 20 years or maybe get a little boost by clicking forward.
Fascinating. Really fascinating. All right, here we go again. First time caller line, you're on the air with Neil Slade. Hi.
Hello, Mr. Bell. Hello, Mr. Slade.
Hi.
This is Albert calling from Toronto, listening on AM 610.
Yes, sir.
Great experiment number 9. Why don't we perform an exorcism on the whole world and cast Satan back into heaven where he came from and let him and God battle it out, their disagreement, without humans being caught in the middle and at risk of losing their soul every day.
Well, all right, let me modify what you just said a little bit. You, of course, Neil, well know the chain of experiments that began with you, actually, starting them.
Yeah.
That I did.
Yeah.
And that I haven't done for quite a while. Another thought I've had is, there is said to be a collective consciousness, right?
Like what that 16-year-old kid clicked into?
Yeah. Exactly. There is said to be that, right?
Yeah.
So, it might be possible for great experiment number 9 or 10 or whatever, to get millions of people to inject, I wonder if you've ever thought of this, inject a new concept or idea into the greater consciousness. You ever think about that?
I believe so, and the name I came up with was the Universal Energy Bank.
Yeah.
And
I don't know, whatever you call it.
Yeah.
I've noticed that with millions of minds working, you can achieve big things. I think we proved that with the experiments I did run. But I've been considering ever since then what other things you might try, and one of them might be to inject a whole new idea or concept into the group consciousness, sort of just slam it in there with millions of people thinking about the same thing at the same time, and change the course of humanity.
I've got no argument for you there.
I mean, suppose, for example, just as an example, that we were to have millions of people concentrating on modifying the environment in some significant, very important way for humanity. Might that work?
I think it would depend on what you're visualizing or what that key idea might be.
Well, let's say that let's just for grins, say that you're trying to cause a realization among all peoples that the environment is in trouble, and that people have to take individual and collective action and get off their butts and do something about the environmental difficulties we have. This is all pure conjecture. It's something I've been thinking about as a possible experiment.
The only problem I would see there would be, how would you measure your results? You know, if you have a fairly, if it's a,
it's true. It's true. We've done previous experiments. We have done where the results were immediately obvious.
Yeah.
Bringing rain where there was none, that sort of thing. Immediately obvious. But something I thought a little trickier, a little perhaps more useful down the line for all of us. I don't know if that kind of thing could be done, but if it could, millions of minds might be able to do it. Just a thought. All right, Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Neil Slade. Hello.
Hello, good morning. Neil, you were mentioning the solar plexus in the last hour. I just caught the end of it there.
Yeah.
I was wondering, every once in a while, actually quite frequently, it just started maybe a year and a half ago, I get this pressure right in, exactly in the solar plex region. It feels almost exactly like someone is just taking their finger and pushing it back. And I don't think it's indigestion, and I have no idea, I'm not familiar with these subjects. Does that mean anything, or you were saying something about it connects, or the energy levels or something connects there? Have you ever heard that before?
I can't say that anyone's, you know, asked me about that specific thing before. And, you know, just tonight we started tossing around this idea of this enteric brain and the second brain. So it'd be hard for me to make, you know, a sort of personal diagnosis and any kind of general statement.
Okay, and on the the clicking the amygdala, I guess is how you say it. You were on it with Ian, and you did the same, you explained it the same way to him, but I think at the end of it, are you supposed to push the energy out forward through your forehead? Wasn't that one of the things you mentioned, or?
Yes.
For me?
Yes, okay. It was. I have a diagram in the frontal lobe supercharge book as well. What you want to do is project the energy that's moving into the frontal lobes out, back out to universe, completing the circuit. If you don't complete the circuit, you sort of become like a plugged up toilet, as it were. And all life energy is you know, when the environment is healthy, you have a circulation of energy.
Right.
And when the amygdala is clicked backwards, you're thinking me, me, me. You're thinking ego. You're thinking what's good for me? What's going to help me? Okay? What's going to make me feel good? Okay? Well, you have to grow beyond that. You're just an infant if you're just sucking in energy. Mm-hmm. The mature frontal lobes adult projects energy. I like to think of the human system like a tube, for example. Okay? Energy comes in the tube, and then it leaves the tube. And the circulation is what makes the human energy system vibrant, because it's moving. If you plug up one end of the tube and the energy doesn't leave the tube, it becomes stagnant. And it becomes a non-moving thing, and the circulation ends, and that's the end of it, okay? So you've got to project the energy out of the system so circulation goes in a circular pattern. It goes from universe into you and then back out to universe again. And it's very easy to visualize this as a beam of light leaving the frontal lobes, or you know, any kind of projection that is going from you back out to universe.
Okay, I think I've got it. Time for one more at least. First time caller line, you're on the air with Neil Slade. Hi.
Hi, this is Yvonne from Arcata, California, KGOE. I just had a quick comment. Somebody called earlier and mentioned something about spontaneous combustion as sort of a backfire if you do it wrong.
Right.
I thought that
as a possibility.
As a possibility.
Right.
Well, my understanding was that they had finally figured out that possibly spontaneous combustion had to do with something called a wicking process. Have you heard about that?
Wicking? No, I don't think I have. Neil?
No.
What is that, hon?
Well, I'm not too good at describing it, but my understanding is that it has something to do with sort of an internal kind of a, you know what? I'm going to let it go at that. Someone out there knows what I'm talking about. Please call in and explain it better than I possibly could. Thanks, Art.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
Well, we were highly speculative on our own.
Indeed.
Explanation of what...
Indeed. However, it's not that wild, because if you can really generate the kinds of voltages and current that set that newspaper in that video on the website on fire, then, I don't know, that's not so wild, in my opinion. But who am I? And you've got to see that video, and I want to say that one more time for those who have joined the program late. If you want to see something that I guess you've either got to believe that everything we're talking about tonight is real after you see the video, or you've got to believe it's some kind of hoax or magic, or it's one of the two. Either everything is real or it's a trick, some kind of horrible trick, and it's been investigated and it doesn't seem to be a trick. So that leads you back to the former. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Neil Slade. Hello.
Hello. This question is for Neil Slade.
Yes.
Ever since I have been... I don't have any help for the lady who was asking about the wicking, but I do have a question. Ever since I was a child, I've had an ability to, I can't fully explain what I'm doing, and I'm not sure what I'm doing, but I've had this ability, and I still have it, to turn on and off some sort of energy is all I can describe it as. Like at any point in time, like right now or when I'm talking or when I'm walking, I can do this, and I just turn it on, and basically it feels sort of like there's an energy flowing all through my body is the best way I can describe it. And I'm wondering, where does this lead to eventually? I'm not sure if this is relevant to tonight's discussion, or what steps can I take next to further this?
Well, it sounds like you're feeling some life force energy moving through the body. The next step is, what do you do with it? And again, this goes back to the couple callers ago who asked about projecting the energy. And so it sounds to me as though you want to direct, focus this energy that you're feeling to accomplish those things that you want to accomplish, whether it be contributing to society or helping other people or whatever it is. If you don't direct the energy and get it flowing out of you, again, it's just like it's putting a stopper on the bottle. Nothing's going to come out. It's not going to do any good.
Right.
Does that make some sense?
Sort of, but this is definitely like a physical sensation that takes.
Yeah, sure. Oh, absolutely. I'm sure.
Very physical, I've never had any sort of understanding of what should it be directed. Or...
Maybe you do now. Try the exercises and let us know.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much. And Neil, hold on. We're at the bottom of the hour. Chuck in Madison, Wisconsin says, wicking effect is caused by people falling asleep while smoking or next to a candle. And he says the person has to be fat on top of that. So, like the wick of a candle, it reaches you and poof, bend me, shape me, ignite me. We'll be right back.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up. Somewhere in Time with Art Bell continues courtesy of Premier Networks.
Neil Slade is here, and he's talking about a power that we all have within us. It's all in there. How many of you have begun to use it? I suspect with shows like this, more and more all the time.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from May 8th, 2001.
Once again, back to Neil Slade. Neil, you're back on the air again, by the way, for all of Neil Slade's products. The brain books and the CDs, all of it available at an 800 number, or technically 888-331-7589. That's 888-331-7589. And you recommend they begin with your first book if they are a beginner, right?
If you haven't bought a brain book, definitely. Frontal Lobe Supercharge is the book, and it's got all the stuff you need to know. And you can get any other books in addition to that. And like I said, there's a complete set that's like, it's got 8 hours of brain music, and it's got either 3 or 5 books in it.
Well, my guess is if somebody gets the first one and it works, that they're probably going to come back and order the rest of them.
And believe me, that's what happens. Sure.
Yeah, I would imagine so. All right, let us continue moving. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Neil Slade. Good morning.
Hello, Art. Love your show. Hello, Neil.
Hi there.
I, ever since I was young, 7, 8 in grade school, I've got a pressure point in my forehead that I can lean up against a pencil or something, and it makes that spot area tingle, and I feel like I see myself outside of my body flying like a bird.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Sounds like you're directly stimulating the prefrontal cortex and causing, you know, maybe you have a flexible cranial suture in
what,
that.
What was that?
That was a semi-truck.
Oh, you're on a road. All right. I'm sorry about that.
I pulled over and stopped.
Okay.
He just left his body.
Yeah, I know. It sounded,
on the air.
Sounded like that, yes.
You know, maybe you've got an extra suture there or something, but it sounds like you're responding to, you know, to physical pressure.
Yes.
And causing, this frontal lobe's reaction by actually physically manipulating that part of the brain. Most of us have to do it
from
the inside out.
Okay. Throughout the years, I've been able to touch that same spot and get the same reaction. And I could do it today, I'm sure. I haven't done it in a while.
And you have an out-of-body feeling or experience when you do that?
Yes.
Yeah, well, you know, researcher T.D. Lingo maintained for years that the paranormal experiences, including this out-of-body thing, were occurring in the frontal lobes portion of the brain, specific to that area. And, it sounds like you're giving some pretty good supportive evidence, you know, that physical stimulation of that area is producing exactly those results.
Great. Well, I like it.
Yeah, keep it up.
I hear you. All right. Thank you, caller.
Thank you.
Take care. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Neil Slade. Good morning.
Oh, yes. Good morning, Art. Warm greetings to you and Neil.
Thank you.
And I was just going to see if Neil was interested in hearing a peak experience I've had. I guess I've been practicing since I first heard his program over a year ago.
Okay. Here's... We'd love to hear it.
Okay.
You're an experienced amygdala clicker, it sounds like.
Yes. Yeah. Right. I was pretty dedicated there for the, I'm sure, but, well, couple years now, I guess. Any rate, I was trucking, and after a long evening of trucking, I had parked at my last stop and had been bent over to pick up something that had fallen out of my driving bag. And I was kind of rummaging around down there, and when I leaned up, I felt really lightheaded, like you'd stood up too fast. And gosh, I got this just intense amygdala click, and something pushed me back into the truck seat. I kind of sat there at attention. and I was seeing this image, and it opened up and was filled with some really intense lights. And I looked around and tried to gather information about what I was seeing, and after a while, I came back through a barrier of sound and was just sitting in the truck again.
Wow.
And I wondered if any of the others reporting had ever experienced things like that.
Oh, I get that frequently. What is common is that this type of peak experience, and it was a pleasurable, intense, sounds like, just very unusual transcendence type of experience for you. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, much so. And I would say the idea of being kind of held there and something wanting me to look at this, that I kind of, I always wondered what those little girls in Fatima, Portugal were experiencing and that there was some other force that was working on them.
Well,
so, yeah, I think it had a real spiritual content for me also.
Well, the commonality is this, and I mentioned this earlier in the program, that the effects are cumulative, and they happen after you've been doing it. You sort of like build up an energy reserve, and at a certain point you have this, you burst through. We call this the frontal lobe's transcendence, or Big Bang, or, pre-popper experience. What's common is it's accumulative. It happens after you practice the clicking for a long time, but also that it happens when you least expect it. It's not something that you plan. It happens when you're not planning it, and you never know when it's going to happen. And when I tell people they can expect something like this between 2 weeks and 3 years of doing the clicking exercise, and it's a life-changing experience. One analogy I say is that it's like going the speed. You feel like the energy of a diesel train is moving through your brain and body at 100 miles an hour, but pleasurably so. Or it's like when Christopher Columbus or Magellan or someone, they're on the ocean for what seems like an eternity, and they're waiting to fall off the ocean any minute, and all of a sudden somebody yells, "Land ho!" Uh-huh. It's that kind of experience. And it's what happens when you practice brain self-control, and it's more predictable than 20 years of meditation, and it's more of a direct route to this cosmic experience that I was referring to earlier. And you're one guy who is showing that I'm not full of baloney.
Well, great. Thank you so much for your sharing. I appreciate it. And Art, thank you for keeping the open flow of information coming to the folks.
You bet. Take care. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Neil Slade. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing, Art?
I'm doing all right. Where are you?
I am in Wichita, listening to 1330.
On a cell phone. On a cell phone, right?
Yeah, I'm driving my truck.
Okay.
Back to KC.
All right.
In my younger days, I was pretty rebellious, and I noticed that I had a knack of, as you guys would say, I guess, thinking out of my stomach. My first experience was with my teacher, and as a result, the principal also, but I got so mad at them for what they were doing that I'm not an angry person, I'm not violent. What I did was, I wish there was something I could do, and I made myself upset in my stomach. And I noticed that he had a bowel movement in his pants. Of course, then the principal started getting on to me. I thought I was saved, and when I got into the principal's office and explained my situation, he, didn't side with me, and I made this happen to him. And, of course, later on, it didn't happen 3 or 4 years down the line, I got caught with narcotics and in court, and I have a public defender and their side lawyer, and I told them the day before that if they didn't go my way that I was going to make them spew in their pants. And I did. It's all documented now, and I've noticed that I have this knack of doing that. I just want to let this go, and I make myself sick, and I actually do it to myself too. And that's the thing. I can only mind control myself and make the effect transfer.
All I can say is I just don't want to get on your bad side.
Yeah, same here. Thank you,
so
caller.
It's not a hateful thing, you know.
Well, it depends on.
It's just something I just
do.
I like humiliation when somebody upsets me in that matter.
Well,
thanks,
I was going to say
it.
Okay, you bet.
Great guest.
Yes, take care. I was going to say it depends on which side of the thought you're on, but I west of the Rockies, you're on the air with Neil Slade. Hello.
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 This is Steve from Boise, Idaho.
Hi, Steve.
I got a question for your guest, Neil. My younger days, I had a friend of mine who could not wear a watch. I don't know if he had too much electrical charge or what, but he wouldn't, you know.
I have
watch
heard
would
of
run
people.
For more than an hour.
Yeah, I've heard of people like
this
that.
This was before the days of the LCDs. It would just, he would just kill him.
I know a gentleman like that, and I met him at the bookstore, and he is a scientist, in fact, and he has friends who are electrical engineers, and one of his friends absolutely forbids him to walk into his laboratory workplace, because mm-hmm. when he does, all the equipment starts going haywire. And this is a scientist who has this problem. So I've heard of this before.
Yep. Okay. So have I.
Have you heard of the song Cloud Busting by Kate Bush?
Oh, of course, yes.
Okay. Just checking. That's all I had.
All right. Well, it would have been good bumper music for tonight, probably.
Yeah. She wrote actually about the Wilhelm Reich's Cloud Busting machines, and she did a videotape where she portrays the son, she's wearing makeup, of course, the son of Wilhelm Reich as he's carted off by the Food and Drug Administration.
You know, I wonder about something, Neil. I wonder if people who we call natural psychics or natural experiencers of the paranormal, and I've known quite a few of them through the years doing this program, believe me, some of them, Neil, don't like what happens to them. They don't like being part of the paranormal, having these kinds of experiences or knowing things they really shouldn't know otherwise.
Yeah.
They don't like it. And I wonder if for these people, learning your technique in reverse would help them stop what they don't want.
I had that exact question. You know, I mentioned to you that I did a lecture at the Art Bell Listeners Chat Club here in Denver last week.
Right.
And I had that exact question from a woman, and she had four different cancers over a period of 4 years, and she healed herself of all of those. But one of the problems was when she got sick, she started having these, the telepathy and the paranormal things, and it was happening all the time. And she asked, how can I turn those off? And I haven't come up with an answer for her yet. I would suspect, however, that if there is an answer, it is, in the brain. And there's probably some kind of meditation that she could do, or focusing on, you know, which part of her brain is producing these, you know, the unpleasant side effects of this, and probably some good meditation would give her or another person like this an answer to that.
Mm-hmm.
Just focusing on, you know, where this information is coming, and you know, I really believe you can control the internal dialogue and processes of the brain consciously. So if there is, you know, just as though one can turn off the anxiety and the negative emotions, it would seem logical to me that one could also control the advanced annoying powers of the brain as well.
Here, here. All things are not always welcome. First time caller line, you're on the air with Neil Slade and Art Bell. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
Where are you?
Las Vegas.
Oh, Las Vegas, over the hill. All right.
You know, it's funny that you just talked about that, because I was going to ask about how to kind of stop, you know, if you don't want it, it's, or, you know, you never even tried to have this stuff, you know, with your brain and everything. It comes as a surprise, and it's something you're not used to. You kind of want to get rid of it, you know. I mean, if you don't know how to deal with it.
Oh,
you know?
No, I agree with that.
Right.
Completely.
Okay, so so I was wondering, too, Neil, if that clicking and turning it off, if that would help with any, you know, abilities a person has that have to do with the brain.
Well, there's a...
I know it's the same thing you just answered, kind of.
Well, yeah. Let me go into a little more detail. There's a part of the brain called the thalamus, and
right.
It's like a valve in the brain. Mm-hmm. Now, normally, your senses are bringing in all kinds of information, all kinds of sensory information into your brain, and you have to filter out a certain amount of that, or you're so distracted you can't get anything done. One of the chemicals that helps to filter out this vast amount of information is serotonin, which is one of the neurotransmitters. If you don't have enough serotonin, or dopamine is another one, in your brain, it's kind of like taking, again, a psychedelic drug, and you're overwhelmed with sensory information, and it becomes unpleasant. It's like getting, the colors are too bright, and you're hearing voices, and this is a problem that schizophrenics have. They're hearing voices, and they're unable to focus and
right.
accomplish what they want to do.
Right.
So probably one might be able to focus on changing the release of those neurotransmitters in the brain so that you're able to filter out the information as it would normally be filtered out. You know, we know from the voluntary control studies at Menninger that one can actually affect the autonomic nervous system. You can consciously change blood flow. You can consciously change body temperature, heart rate. And it would follow that you could probably change chemical makeup in the brain to a certain extent as well. This is why people take drugs like Prozac, because they're trying to change the amount of chemical flow within the brain. And it would seem as though you could consciously, with practice, alter that chemistry, neurochemistry makeup in the brain as well, and then quiet things down so you're not getting sensory information overload.
All right, listen here, my friend. The program is coming to a close. We're running out of time, quite literally. And so, one last time, you've got books, you've got CDs, you've got lots of ways to continue this investigation, all of them available. You have done a fantastic job tonight, Neil.
Thank you very much.
Probably the best yet, actually.
Well, I'm happy to hear that.
It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Thank you, and we will do it again.
All right. All right.
Good night, my friend.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. That's Neil Slade. And now you know more about you than you did before if you were listening. Listen, for the press in Washington, D.C., remember, tomorrow morning, Dr. Stephen Greer, the National Press Club, 9 o'clock in the morning. That's this morning, actually, at 9 o'clock. Dr. Stephen Greer with some pretty impressive people. Fourth highest person at one point in the FAA. Pilots, scientists, all saying some pretty incredible things. And what I would say to news editors across the country, but particularly in Washington, D.C., is you've got one hell of a story waiting for you at the press club. Be there. For now, I'm Art Bell from the High Desert. Ta-ta!